Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. This is the first line of the Shema, the most important Jewish prayer. Faithful Jews say it in the morning and in the evening, and it is traditional to cover your eyes when you say this prayer. It's also said on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of the year for Jews, and it is traditionally said at the time of death. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. This verse is followed by a line that is traditionally whispered by people in the synagogue, blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. The remainder of the Shema is taken from three different biblical sources, two from Deuteronomy, one from Numbers. The first details the particular ways in which faith in one God should be lived. Love God with all your being. Teach it to your children. Recite it when you wake and when you lay down. Even bind it as a symbol on your body. The second section specifies what will happen if God's commandments are heeded and what will happen if they aren't. The final section concerns the biblical commandment concerning the ritual fringes that are on the shawls of Orthodox Jews that are a reminder of God's presence. As a faithful Jew, Jesus would have prayed the Shema every morning and evening with his family and then with his disciples. It was the first prayer he ever heard, and probably these were the first words he remembered. As soon as Jesus could speak, he would have been taught the Shema, and then when he turned 12, he would have been required to pray it in the morning and in the evening. I wonder if he recited it to himself quietly on the cross. The word Shema not only means hear in Hebrew, it also means listen, pay attention, focus, meaning let the word sink in and provide understanding. As members of St. Matthew's listening ministry will tell you, listening deeply and intently takes effort. In the Old Testament, love isn't just an emotion. It implies action. Loving God and others involves not only listening to them and expressing your feelings verbally, but also demonstrating your love through concrete actions. Jews showed their love of God by faithful obedience to the terms of their covenant relationship. The Shema is the Jewish equivalent of the Lord's Prayer, and that's why I'm using it as the first lesson this morning. I'm just curious, how many of you were taught the Lord's Prayer as a child or picked it up in church? Wow. I imagine that for some of you, the Lord's Prayer is the first prayer that you learned, and one of the prayers, maybe the only prayer that you've learned by heart. In the Episcopal liturgy, as most of you know, we say the Lord's Prayer during communion right before the bread is broken, and that's called the fraction, in which we remember that Jesus gave his life for us so that we might live. The Lord's Prayer is also said often or prayed when people are suffering, when they die, and at their funerals. It has a deep emotional resonance for many of us and a lot of memories. I want to just take a moment here and have you remember a time when the Lord's Prayer helped you during a difficult moment or circumstance. In today's gospel lesson from Luke, we learn that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he finished, his disciples said, "Teach us to pray." The prayer he taught them became what we now know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, the prayer Jesus teaches, and you can see it in your worship bulletin, it's more succinct than the Lord's Prayer that we say each Sunday. It's missing "Our Father in heaven, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." One scholar said that the Lord's Prayer makes clear God's otherness, God's sovereignty, and our dependence on God. It lays out our concrete daily needs for food, forgiveness, and fidelity. If you look at the Lord's Prayer anew with fresh eyes, you'll notice it's pretty bold. There are no pleases in there. Jesus doesn't say, "Please bring your kingdom, please give us each day our daily bread, or please forgive our sins." Clearly, Jesus was not a Minnesotan. He teaches his disciples to ask for these things directly, bluntly. When Jesus instructs his followers to pray, "Your kingdom come," he's directing them to ask for the fullness of God's reign or rule to come to fruition. God's reign or rule is revolutionary and countercultural. So you can see why the rulers of Jesus' day were threatened when he and his followers started to pray this prayer. One thing I do want to point out is that time of trial has been wrongly translated temptation elsewhere. I'm sorry to share that news for those of you who love the traditional version. But here Jesus is teaching his students to ask God to keep them from circumstances that will imperil their faith, like persecution. He's not asking them to, not asking God to keep them from temptation. Like the Shema, the Lord's Prayer is a practice that keeps us anchored. So many other stories compete for our attention and allegiance. Stories about what really matters, where our worth comes from, and who and what is worth our time and commitment. The Shema and the Lord's Prayer remind us that we are God's. We are part of a story much larger than ourselves, the story of God and God's people. Prayer is something that reminds us of who we are and whose we are, and it's something that brings us closer to God and others. I wonder if you have a daily prayer practice, and if not, I wonder what gets in the way. If you do pray daily or frequently, I wonder if you prefer to speak or to listen to God. And I wonder, when you pray regularly, do you notice a difference in yourself and in your day? On one of his visits to Jerusalem, a scribe of the Torah asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." When the scribe agreed with Jesus, he replied, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." In the silence that follows, let's spend some time listening to God. Amen.